You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast, and for my favorite time of the year, free agency. As always, my name is Adam Friedman. I'm a staffer at IndyCornrows.com. And joining on the other line is my favorite co-host, my only co-host, the man who I think with the dumbest tweet today, Mr. Tony East.
The dumbest tweet today?
That Joe Young tweet was stupid.
I was just laying out a possibility. I didn't say they were going to do it.
But then you caveat with if, when, they won't.
I said technically the Pacers could make Joe Young a restricted free agent. And that matters because his free agent cap hold is a restricted free agent cap hold now because they did the team option decline instead of waiting a day. So it actually does change things. Thank you very much.
But we both know they're going to waive his cap hold.
What?
They're going to waive his cap hold immediately or as soon as they need.
Probably, but you never know, man. You never know.
Okay. I would bet you all the money in my pocket.
I agree with you 100%, but you just don't know.
I know. I just thought your tweet was a little bit like, maybe I want to say like, flexing your chops that you know this basically kind of thing.
George Niang got a qualifying offer. Anything is possible.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. You never know. You never know. It's fine. This is my favorite time of the year for the NBA. So let's get to this podcast because we've got a ton of stuff right now, and this could go way longer than either of us wants it to go or thinks it's going
to
go, right?
Yeah. We have to say, after the Lance news, we have to apologize for the big gap in episodes, but we were just waiting on all the decisions about players to be made so we could have the most information possible to do this episode.
Yeah, it was stupid to do a podcast before Thad made his decision.
Right.
Just dumb. Like, the whole podcast would be, if Thad does this, well, like, let's wait one day and see if he does it. And so
now we know.
I think our listeners will be okay with that because now we know all this situation. We know all the cap space. We know all the moves. We can fully discuss it without any ifs or ands or whatever.
Yes. Which is perfect.
All right.
There's very minimal ifs, yes.
Yeah, the ifs are that we know they're going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Well, if. I mean like renouncing guys, but yes.
Yes, I understand. Let's just recap their whole cap situation real quick. Because it's a free agent. So
actual money stuff. They're at $98.8 million between their guaranteed salaries, their cap holds, their non-guaranteed salaries, and Monte Ellis's, my favorite money on the books, Monte Ellis's stretch from last year. But because they're taking over the cap by exceptions, they are technically an over-the-cap team right now until they renounce their exception cap holds, which they will do. So they are under the cap by basically $2.1 million right now.
Okay, so on salary, Victor Oladipo, Thaddeus Young, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Darren Collison, Diff, Turner, Sabonis, Leaf, and EK, it's how much money?
Victor, Thaddeus, Bogdan, Collison, Corey.
Turner, Leaf, Sabonis, Leaf, EK, add in Monte Ellis' $2.25 million, add in $2 million for Aaron Holiday. They're at like 85, right?
Yes, like 84. Yep.
84. Yep. Right. So that would give them 17. No, are they? Yes. No, those salaries are less. I'm wrong with it. That's you at like something in the 70 range.
So the starting five from last year, plus Corey Joseph, Sabonis, Leaf, and EK, right? That's the group plus Ellis.
What's Ellis and add in the holiday too, because that's probably happening.
Yes. That is 75 million.
Yeah. So then the rest of the money right now, the other 23 is $10 million guaranteed for four.
Yep.
And then you're looking at a $5.3 million cap hold for Lance and between $1.5 million and $2 million cap holds for Trevor Booker, Joe Young,
Glenn Robinson.
And that's it, right?
That's where the stuff we were just saying about, you know, that we don't know is going to happen, because I think for sure we can infer that, you know, Poitras will have his money not guaranteed, right? He'll get waived before that.
Yeah, unless, I mean, he didn't play last year, so we assume they took a flyer on him. They didn't want to take a flyer on somebody else.
And I think everybody assumes that as soon as they need $6 million, Al Jefferson is kaput.
Yeah, so the one question I have here, who is first, Lance's Capital or Al Jefferson, you think?
Yeah, that's the question. It's like the order of events and stuff like that. Because between Lance's cap hold and Glenn Robinson III's cap hold, they would lose their free agent rights if they cut those holds, which would make them much harder to acquire. They'd have to use cap space for a minimum contract. So I don't know what they're going to do with those guys. It's going to be very interesting.
So if I had to guess, Glenn signs somewhere else before his half. I think he signs early on. I think Jefferson goes first. Just I think because they're holding out a chance to get recent Lance for like a minimum, basically.
Yeah, if they could get him for the minimum, I think they would just renounce it.
Well, can't you – don't you have – if you renounce it, can't you not sign him for so long? Is there some kind of rule with that?
Nope, you still can.
Okay.
If you waive him, you can't re-sign him. So, like, if they waive Al Jefferson, he's gone.
Yeah, obviously.
But because they declined a team option, it's different, and they can re-sign Lance.
Okay, so they'll renounce Lance first, and they have – maybe they have a – I mean, we don't know. They might have a side deal Lance right now for $2 million on July, whatever,
right, so,
whenever they finish everything.
So the most overlooked thing in Pacers free agency is after they use cap space, they'll have what's called the room exception, which is up to a two-year deal worth like – it's up to a two-year deal, and it starts at $4.4 million. But you can use it on more than one guy. So they could, in theory, use the room exception to give Lance and GR3 more than the minimum and give them two-year deals if they wanted.
Yeah, I think GR3 is gone. We've had this conversation before.
He'll
be off there.
Yep.
That he sounds like he wants out. They don't want him anymore. He's been hurt. It's just time for him to move on somewhere else.
I think their goals are just going to be too far apart too, because he's going to want playing time and his first big deal, and I don't think they can give him either. I mean, they could give him a deal, but I don't think they can offer him as much playing time as you'd want.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then I think they might have a deal. They're going to give Lance the room because the same salary. His salary is 4.3. The room is 4.4. It's the same, basically same money. There might already be that deal in the books. It's just waiting.
Exactly. Yes, and that is super illegal to tamper with a player like that and have a wink, wink deal. But I think every team does it, so who cares?
Well, and I also think you cut Lance because knowing, I mean, you tell Lance we might want you back when they cut him, but say see what's out there first. Tell him you wish the best for him, so he might go some. Like there is a chance a team can take a flyer on him too. I mean,
well, that's what I've seen on the internet. Like, what non-Golden State team is going to be like? Yes, Lance. Like, no one.
Detroit.
Detroit. Why?
I don't know. They're Detroit.
Touche. I just don't think there's a lot of teams that would want Lance, given his questionable background. So,
I think he did redeem this though. He proved he's at least is a quality, can be in a good locker room. Like the locker room.
Yeah,
is really good.
Yeah, and well, and he's from New York and Brooklyn area, so both of those teams are just maybes because they could use a spark.
Yeah, the Knicks and Brooklyn stinks. Like always,
yeah, they could use a maybe there, but I don't think he would go anywhere. I don't think so.
No, I think you're right. I think he comes back at the end of this whole thing for whatever they have left.
Me too.
But
that's neither here nor there, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's the first thing I want to say was, so we think Jefferson is the first one, then it's probably in the Lance in order of who they push out first before they to get the cap space to re-sign somebody.
Yes, I would believe. I think in order, actually, what they would do very first is they would renounce Poitras and Joe Young, or they would cut Poitras and renounce Joe Young, and then try to keep running with as few good player cutting moves as they can for as long as possible.
Yeah. So like,
I actually think that Booker's free agent rights are very interesting. I don't know why. It's non-bird rights, but not worth more than like $2.5 million. So I don't know. I don't know what they'll do with him.
I don't think he's too old, and he didn't want it to do.
Yeah, he was really good, like fourth big, though. You know.
Yeah, but he can't play center. He just can't.
No, he was not
like
in
a regular season. He can't.
You're right.
He was fine for a guy you have, just like basically a guy you got the last minute to help your rotation in the playoffs. But he's not a guy you have all season.
Kind of got hyped up because he was just better than TJ Leaf.
Yeah, and he's if he's there, he's blocking Leaf unless he's in the role of not playing. So. I don't see them. You just go younger there. You just go younger.
Yeah,
there.
That's the first group to go. I think you're right. I take that back. I think him and Poitras and Joe Young's holds are the first things to go.
Yeah, because you go younger. So with Lance, let's say with everybody gone, like we think Lance, Jefferson, Robinson, Booker, everybody, between 19 and 20 million in space.
Yeah, they would have an empty roster charge after getting rid of all those dudes, so they'd be at about 19.3 million.
So that would be. Right, let's go for first guy. Right in the range of probably to sign a guy like Aaron Gordon, right?
Yeah, that tier of restricted guys, you know, Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker, Julius Randle, something like that. I saw a bunch of Lakers fans today clamoring for their offseason plans to bring back Randle for $17 million. So it seems like Lakers fans would be comfortable with Randle in the high teens. So to get him might take quite a bit of money.
So I have a big Lakers thing, but let's talk about it at the end of the podcast. The thing okay. I was teasing before, it's a thing we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. So let's do Jabari and Gordon because they Pacers have been tied to both those players, probably because they have cap space.
And right, everybody, yeah. Agents are using the Pacers for leverage right now.
And if you're the Pacers, how often do you become a marquee team? There's like not anybody.
Right, right.
You. So you're a marquee, so why not let your name be out there as in the, you know.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's huge. Cares?
Not like you have to give out contracts. So let's start with Gordon because he's probably more expensive than Parker, I would guess. I mean, I would be surprised if Parker's a bigger contract than Gordon. And two, he's probably, I mean, I think he's one of the more interesting players on the market because he's an established player. With Parker, you're taking a risk. With Gordon, he's sort of an established player. You know what he is, and I think he was playing out of position that if you put him in the right situation, like they did with Oladipo, it could be something. You could see some success.
Yeah, they've played together before, which is cool, too. They, you know, they have some friendship and chemistry there. And then in terms of his play-by-play, you know, he played more than half of his – or excuse me, he played like just about a third of his minutes at small forward his rookie year, 40% his second year.
63% 16-17.
His third year, he played over half his minutes at the three, so he was just getting wasted there. And then last year, he played 91% power forward, so they finally figured it out, and he bloomed. So, you know, it seems so obvious, and I think Rob Hennigan was just being dumb and trying to force him to play with other guys that they – signed for stupid reasons. You know, as soon as Hennigan was gone, they got him in the right position. But now that we see what he can be at the four, you know, he makes a lot of sense because with Thad gone the next year, his age, he's still only 22, even though he was drafted 4 years ago. You know, the fit is very obvious.
Yeah, he's very obviously a power forward. I think
yeah, that's oh, what, so obvious. So
because he'll athletically can dominate other power forwards like Thad Young. Like, yeah. Like when him and Thad against each other, he could dominate things athletically, at least on the offensive end.
Yes.
So then I hit this before our show, but the hypothetical move, I said, do the Pacers do something where they try to sign and trade for him with Orlando? So capitalize on Orlando's bird rights.
It's the dunked on strategy.
So the Thad Young and Alif, I'd say you don't want to give a first round pick. That's probably too much, but. Well, I guess if you're picking the 20s next year, if you think you're gonna might not be terrible, you go up the 22nd pick. But that's kind of the move. Could you convince Orlando to do that? Or maybe, I mean, you probably can't throw in Holiday for a month, but some other young player they have.
Yeah, Orlando would do it just to not lose him for nothing if they think Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba are the move. But, you know, you got to convince them that it's worth a sign and trade for them, getting hard capped, you know, keep taking back Thad Young, things like that. It has to be worth it to them. So you have to send him an adequate value back. And that's close enough. I still think if the Pacers had the space, they'd rather just sign him outright, but I don't know what the move is there.
See, I think the thing is I guess he could be backup, but you don't want to play in a small forward is
he would start over Thad if they got him.
He would start over Thad, do you think?
I think so.
So first of all, then you're paying $33 million to the power forward position, which is yep. kind of, then he prevents a bonus from playing power forward minutes completely all
good.
Year. No, but then you playing the bonus then like 18 minutes a night probably.
Yeah, they have to figure that out. It's a problem. Yeah, that's two good centers.
That's why I think you try and they need another player to really on this problem. They need some kind of guard, power, small forward, probably somewhere in that kind of player. And so if you sign and trade with like Thad, you can at least go after another one of those guys. You know, I mean, you still have money to probably get a Barden or a Tyler Gavin.
That's the thing for the Magic, too. They have so much money on the books that taking back something like $13 million is not great.
Yeah, but it's on an expiring versus losing him for nothing. Like I said, or matching is a restricted deal for like $25 million when you already have like three centers and two power forwards or whatever. They have like a big man, basically, right? They've got Bamba, Isaacs, Vucevic, and then
Bismack Biyombo.
Biyombo. They got four guys who play like center power forward. Then they're going to pay Gordon the most of any of those, right?
I just don't think they will try to lose a young player just because they have other guys at that position, especially when he's probably their best player. But under a new regime, I don't really know what their plans are, so it's hard to say. He did say at the Uncle Drew movie premiere, whatchamahoohickey, that he's trying to get a deal done. So I don't know if that's real or not, but still.
What I'm saying is they don't lose him for nothing. They get Thad Young on an expiring deal, which you can probably flip somewhere else, maybe. And you get a young player, a young asset, a young player or a pick.
I would think that, yeah, I mean, maybe they'd go for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know when the pitch I put a first-round pick in that. I don't. That's sort of maybe the line. And I don't know that, and I don't know if a second-round pick moves the needle enough.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So,
so then another player is Jabari Parker, obviously.
Yeah, I'll go here, actually. I'm about to write about him. I think he actually makes more sense for a sign-and-trade just because the Bucks are actually good. So them getting a guy like Thad or like whoever who's a contributor that can help them makes more sense to me than the not good Magic, who are also cap-strapped. And they don't have to worry about the risk of this young dude. And he plays the same position as Giannis. Like, there's just, to me, he makes more sense for a sign-and-trade. And the Bucks would, you know, not have to worry. I think with an injury guy like that, if you can lose him for value, you're a little happier with that just because of his injury concerns. And he's not even close to your best player. There's a lot of reasons I feel like he makes more sense as a sign-and-trade candidate. So insert your idea for Gordon sign-and-trade, but with Jabari.
And without the pick. You don't give a pick up for Jabari, right?
Yeah, you probably give up a second or something.
Oh, but no, I'm saying you don't give up a first-round pick or a TJ Leaf.
Maybe. I'd give up a Leaf for him.
I don't think you have to, though, because Parker's going to
– You could just sign him, though. That's the thing. I don't think you sign-and-trade for any of these restricted guys because you could just sign him with space. But yeah.
I think you do because you want to clear Thad's contract to go after another player. So you're not really – you're not looking at your
– Yeah, if everything's going to work out for the Pacers, but Thad is good.
No, but I think you're looking at it that you're trying to get – you look at it this way. You look at the Thad is – like Trendy's already gone, and that's what you're basically trying to do. You're trying to make him leave so you could go for somebody else. Because that was the original plan, right? If Thad was leaving, it was go for Jabari, go after Randall, or go after Gordon, and then also be able to have the money to sign another player.
Right. But that is better than what you're doing.
That is better than who?
Than all of them.
No, you're right. But the idea is that you want to move on a guy who can be your long term, and that isn't your long term.
Yeah, of course, of course. Hopefully, and hopefully that works out. They can do it next year too. Who knows?
But like with Jabari too, you probably need to keep that because what are the odds Jabari can play the full season?
Yeah, exactly. But I like Jabari because he's proved he can shoot a little bit more than Gordon. I know he's been limited because of injuries, and that makes it interesting.
He's a huge risk.
Substantially better defender, but I think everybody's a substantially better defender than Jabari Parker. So that's not really something to think about either. When he plays big minutes, he's really good. When he was 21, he averaged 20 points a game. I mean, that's insane. And he shot really well from three that year too. I like Jabari's fit a little bit better because he can be more of the stretch four that they're looking for, even though his defense is terrible.
But he's a huge risk.
Massive.
Gordon, especially for the money, what Parker's probably to 7-2 or 3 of the third year team option, but it's a lot of money to pay for a guy who has 2 ACL tears in the past 3 seasons.
Yeah, he's gonna have
it's gonna be a lot of money
to see what he gets. I know, I think you can get him for less, and I think the risk is more worth it to him. I think he has a higher ceiling than Gordon.
See, I don't know, I think Gordon is a terrible position of this team, and I don't want to shit on Frank Vogel, but offensively just has been in a bad spot. And I think, you know, the way we saw Oladipo blossom a little bit out of that, like he got out of Orlando and almost into like a better coaching system with a better roster, he blossomed. I'm not saying he's going to turn into that kind of player, but to play with a guy like Oladipo, who's actually this time in his prime and looking like the player he should have been 2 or 3 years ago, it'd just be a whole different world for Gordon. And we haven't seen him play like guys like that.
I would hope that would help out for him. You never know. You know, some guys change the location is good. Sometimes it's not. But I just like Jabari's fit with the team better. And I know they're looking for that stretch four supposedly looking for some sort of stretch four because of what Pritchard said. So I think Jabari fits that mold a little bit better. A little bit better. Woo.
Yeah, you're slurring your speech there, Tony. Maybe.
Woo.
I'm
all pumped up. I just went axe throwing. Super fun. If you're an indie, you should go. But interesting stuff.
Don't advertise for things that don't sponsor our podcast.
I didn't say their name.
I know. I'm just kidding. No, we're both pumped for agency. It's just like, this is the most fun part. Like, the next 5 days are the best part of the NBA season sometimes.
So bad, like, in a real job, checking Twitter so much whenever everything's happening.
Yeah, well, good thing it's on a weekend, so we get to kind of, like, get, like, a pause. Like, that happened last year, too, where you get, like, Saturday and Sunday just to, like, completely just be on your phone the entire
week. Yeah, and Wednesday, too, will be off, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fine. It's a good time. Do you want to talk about Julius Randle for a minute, or do you want to move him? Because I don't think they go after him.
I've whined about him enough.
Okay, so we'll talk about the Lakers at the end of this, because I have a Lakers idea for the Pacers. Let's move into some of the guards. Yeah, guards who the Pacers have been rumored to. So the three big guards have been rumored to right now are Will Barton, Tyreek Evans, and Marcus Smart. I think all three guys you mentioned, just like off the top of your head, sometimes we talk about free agency, that like, those three guys that you go after because they fit. They're not going to be super expensive, and they might not be long-term deals, and whatever, they fit as a backup. Maybe play some small form of minutes in three-guard lineups, right?
Yeah, that group is super fascinating because I think they all have different things that make them so appealing to me. You know, with Smart, you know, I didn't know this about Smart. Did you know Smart only played 5% of his minutes at point guard last year and 6% the year before? Like, he's more of a wing than a point guard.
So I only know that because I was doing research right before this.
Yeah, well, I've always kind of viewed him as that because they had Kyrie and T-Row and Shane Larkin. And I like that about him because he can be a wing defender. And, you know, if they need him to be a ball handler, he's just a big utility guy who's really good at a lot of stuff besides basically everything besides shooting, which is a big thing. It's a big deal. And so that stinks. With Will Barton, I think you get the best combo guard of the two. And I think with Tyreek, you get the best scoring of the group. So, you know, it's really whatever you value the most. I think Barton might be the best bang for your buck because he'll probably be the cheapest and he's not substantially the worst, but I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay. So let's start with one. Let's do Marcus Smart. Okay.
Okay.
So with Smart, I would say you're kind of getting a similar guy you could play the way they used to play. They played Joseph and Oladipo together. You get the same kind of concept where you play Oladipo as a point guard at the crunch time and you play Smart at the two, and Smart is just guarding the best wing player on the other team. He was guarding the second best wing player, relied on him to score a ton.
If you throw out Kojo, Depot, Smart, Thad, and Miles to close the game, like the other team's gonna have so much trouble scoring.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, I think that I'm a big fan of the three guard lineup, especially when you got three defending guards. That's incredible. Yeah. You know, I think if you're playing a team that's a really good power forward, small forward, you're gonna be screwed. But but against a lot of the teams,
it's all the time anyway.
Yeah, but you're gonna be able to. I mean, Bojan can kind of hold his own a little bit against some small forwards. I mean, obviously LeBron he can't, but like some of the, I'm trying to think like who's in that mid level of power forward. The small forwards really isn't that many mid level small forwards. It's like the tier of top and then a drop.
Yeah, like Wilson Chandler level guys.
Yeah, I guess. But with Smart, you have the issue that he got what his qualifying offer from the Celtics is what for $6.3 million, I believe.
I mean, that doesn't matter.
Well, it matters in the sense that he has a floor for his contract.
No, it doesn't.
Well, because it plays in the fact that he knows that, like, you might have to overpay more than you think because he might not want to take $10 million today because he thinks he can go back with 6.3 and make $12 million next year.
Oh, he'll get way more than $10 million.
So what do you think he gets and for how long?
15 to 17.
You think he's a 15 to 17 guy in a market where there's not a lot of teams with
him? Oh, yeah. He's super young and he's really good on D and he can play the wing, yeah.
Definitely. So name the team that's not the Pacers offering $15
million. Suns, Mavs.
Okay, but
I keep going.
For how many years? 3 to 5 years?
I don't know, 2 or 3. No team can offer him 5, but the Celtics.
So the Suns are interesting. I like the Suns. The Mavs are going to tie up their cap space probably in Boogie or Capella or Jordan somehow. So I think they're kind of off the table.
DeAndre, probably.
Yeah. So the Suns are an interesting one. I like that's a decent one.
And the Bulls, maybe.
I'm just saying, there's like one. I guess like my point is, there's like one team, and I'm not sure the Suns would do it. You know what I mean?
It's the only position they need, though, is the thing.
Yeah, but you think their move? I think their move is to go get a traditional point guard to play. Some veteran point guard.
I think if D Book is ball handling for them all the time, they just want a defensive guy. But that doesn't matter anyway.
No, but that's part of it. If there's not a market, then how is he going to get his start to $15 million?
There'll be a market for it, for sure.
Okay, I think there'd be a market. I'm not sure.
How would he get $15 million? Because if the team wants him, if the team actually wants him, they have to pay enough that the Celtics don't match. And I think the Celtics would match up to $15 million.
I guess right. I mean, the Celtics need one of these like mid contract, like these 10 to 12 range to trade, basically, right?
I guess. I mean, they can get easily up to like $20 million of outgoing salary, but they'd have to trade like three guys. So.
Yeah, they need one of these middle counters to be able to go for a $20 million guy without giving up another big piece. But that's a whole different thing. That's part of that. I just think that I'm not sure he gets to 15. I think there's not a big market for that. I think there's going to be a dry market this year restriction than you think with some of these players who are not locked. Like,
oh, I think the market's going to be incredibly dry. I just think restricted free agents, to get them, you have to overpay them.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I mean, I guess, but you could offer Smart, what, 3 years at 36, and that's probably right where the Celtics might not match.
Oh, they would match right away, immediately. 2 seconds.
So that also might drive his market, too. So maybe you have to give him some kind of ridiculous deal of, like, 2 years, 36.
Yeah, I think to get Smart, you'd have to offer, like, 3 for $50.
That seems a lot to pay for that guy, though. A lot.
He's good. He's just super good.
Yeah, but he's a pretty bad offensive player. I mean, he's not like...
No, he's pretty good at everything besides shooting.
Yeah, but that's a huge... You're just saying that's like...
I mean, you don't need him to do it on this team. You don't need him to do it on this team.
But, like, what happens in crunch time if they just stop guarding him and just shrink the floor in Oladipo? Young and him out there, you've got...
Because he does a lot of other stuff, like cutting and all that...
Yeah, but if you have Young and him on the floor and you shrink the, that's going to be a really shrunk floor for the Pacers with Oladipo out there. I mean, what worked last year was when they spread the floor completely because you had to guard all their perimeter players except for Young, basically. Now if you don't have to guard two of them, that's kind of...
Well, also not discounting that Marcus Smart was like 15 for 16 shooting threes against the Pacers. So apparently he could be really good when he's on the court with the Pacers.
Yeah, if we get that Marcus Smart, yes, it's worth it 100%. You're 100% right about that. I was thinking that too.
That was wild. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking that, like, plus teams are going to think, oh, we'll rather have Marcus Smart shoot the big shot than Oladipo every time, and he's going to take it every time, and they're going to force it out of Oladipo's hands. I'm not sure we want that.
Marcus Smart is the favorite guard of the class.
I think he's a good player. I just don't know if he is worth the $50 million contract without the shooting, basically, is what I'm saying.
Let's move on. We want the other team.
Let's do Tyreke Evans next.
Yeah, Evans is going to ask for a lot more money than he's going to get. A lot more money than he's going to get. He played stupid good this year. And, you know, that is not something to look over. He was, like, literally the only good player on the Grizzlies with Conley hurt and Gasol not as good. He shot at 40% from three. He was great at getting to the line. He was scoring over 22 points a game. He was dishing out assists. He wasn't turning it over that much. He was just really good. And that's great. You know, he probably will get a lot of money from it, but finger up in the air, he's stupid injury prone. He played under 1,000 minutes the last three seasons. And frankly, he's never been this good before this 1 year. So you have to wonder if it was situation or not. So there's, you know, he could be really good and that's totally makes him an appealing player that could be worth money, but he also could be a guy who plays 50 games and isn't that great.
He's also going to have the same trouble as Smart is, except even less teams. There's just not a market out there for a guy.
It makes it harder for him.
Except basically the mid-level is his floor. The $8 million mid-level Memphis or from maybe Milwaukee, it's his floor. So if you're the Pacers, you could probably get him for like 10 to 11, honestly.
12, yep. That's the range I was thinking too.
So the question is years at that point. And, you know, he's one of these guys where he might rather take a one-year deal and get back in free agency next year if he has a good year. Now, he's injury-prone, so he might just want to take 4 years at the mid-level and say, I'll take my 40 mil and basically bet a hope. And if I get hurt again, it won't matter. But he could possibly take a 1 or 2 year into free agency and get on a contract when there's more money available.
Yes, I agree.
But, I mean, offensively, like you were saying, he had a great year.
Fantastic year. Wow. Amazing.
A great guard off the bench. I mean, he would score. He would just flat out score for the bench, it would be great.
His worries are more about consistency and on night-to-night stuff because of, you know, he's not playing every game. He's not doing it night-to-night, and he was not this good before. So, you know, he could be really good, and he also could not, and it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, so you look at it. I mean, the last time he played, he played small games, but 25 games in 2015, 16, 40 in 2016, 17. Each of those years he had above a 35% three-point shooting percentage, but then last time he played like 80 games, he had a 30.
He's missed 10 or more games every year but one of his whole career.
Yeah, but as a bench guy, he's probably not going to play 30 minutes like he was playing before. He'll play more like 15 or 20. You get more use out of him then.
In Memphis when he was good, he's playing 30 too, so you know he can play bigger minutes than that.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time he always played except for 16-17 where he was hurt most of the year. He played 20 minutes. Most of the time he's playing 35, 28, 31, 30, like lots of minutes, where next year, 20 max. maybe 25. Sure.
And he went to Memphis too. You know, maybe the hometown fling got him going.
Yeah, sure. He is from right. He played college in Memphis, right? He was the last class for Cal.
Yeah. Yes, the last Cal party.
Yeah. So I mean, like,
speaking of Memphis grads, Will Barton.
So Will Barton, the last one, he's the one you like the most, right?
He's the guy I like the most for the money, because I think you can get MLE money-ish.
Yeah, so what is his contract with Denver? It was they can offer
$3.5 million.
Right, they can offer him the full mid-level if they wanted to?
They have his full bird rights. They can offer him whatever they want.
Oh, okay. So they could kind of match what another team does, basically.
Yes, but, unless he doesn't want to play anymore. Yeah, well, he cannot play there anymore, too.
Tax. I mean, I think, I don't know.
Yeah, and the tax is their biggest hindrance. I mean, they would try to trade if they could, but they who knows?
Yeah, but if he's going for $10 million, nobody's going to trade for him. They're just going to sign him outright. They're gonna, you know what I mean?
Right. No, trade for someone else on Denver, I mean.
Oh, I got you. I'm like,
you can get
an outright sign.
So, no, they would not trade Will Barton.
So what's Will Barton's contract, 8 to 12?
Yeah, I think, yes. Yes.
Probably.
He'll get less than Tyreek when it's all said and done.
Probably 2 years.
How old is he? 27? Three years.
I was thinking 2 years with like a third year half guarantee, maybe team option or player option.
Maybe. I mean, if you want to be team friendly, but I don't know if he wants to go for that.
I'm not sure he gets three guaranteed years again, because there's not a lot of teams out there.
Yeah, who knows? It's a fascinating case. Well, because, I mean, we can't talk about Tyreek being injury prone. Like, Will Barton only played over 60 games once before this last year. Over 60 games. That's terrible. You know,
no, he played 882 in 2015-16.
Yeah, that's his one over 60 games.
Oh, he's done it twice. Okay, yeah. Well, the last 3 years he's been healthy. About 3 years, you could basically say.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's right in the ship.
Yeah, I mean, he's been healthy for 3 years now, putting up 13 or more points and playing 60 or more games. I know 60 is like, tell me about the benchmark where it means you're pretty much healthy. You probably had one weird injury that missed like a 10 or 15 game stretch, and then you had some minor things from it.
He shot obscenely good at the rim last year, which is awesome for someone like him. You know, that's why I like him off the bench too. He can be a slasher. He can get to the basket and score. His 3-point percentage, 37. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but the last 2 years he's been above league average ever so slightly. I like to see stuff like that. I think he's also going to be the most willing to take a bench role of the group. So I think he makes the most sense, even though I don't like him more than Smart. I think he makes more sense than Smart.
We should also point out that all three of these guys are basically going to replace Lance. That's like kind of what.
Yes.
And Barton, like you said,
a game in that like 20 to 25 minutes a game role.
Yeah, and Barton's a good player because you can play next to both. All you guys are playing next to Joseph, but you probably want the ball in Joseph's hands more, and you want guys who can play off the ball. And Lance
isn't turnover, or Corey isn't Joseph's turnover. Bring back Lance to me. I cannot help with that.
No, but that's why the Pacers, if they're actually getting rid of Lance, it's because they want the ball in Joseph's hands more. And want guys who can play off of Joseph off the bench unit, because that will provide more points.
Right.
That's a theory.
I agree.
That's a theory. So Barton is a good fit for that too, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd be okay with everyone in that group more than I would not be okay with Julius Randle. I think that'd be a terrible idea. But I think that I'd be okay with everybody in the guard group more than everybody in the forward group.
I agree with you. Do you have any random minimum guys on your list?
Random minimum?
Throw out
anywhere?
Minimum, like cheaper guys they could go after. You know?
Yeah, I wrote about Ian Clark.
They're going to need another center probably.
I do have a couple centers too.
They need some more wings.
So my Ian Clark thing is that he was off ball in Golden State. He was great. Great is a stretch. He was good. He's a quality shooter. He showed that he can play off ball, and I don't think they'd have him on ball here. And in New Orleans, when he was on ball more, he proved that he could handle the pick and roll really well, and that's like a staple of what the Pacers like to do. So I think he fits in well with what they want to do. I think he can shoot really well, and I think he'd get a minimum deal for sure. I think he's better than Lance at everything, basically, except defense. So if he's a minimum guy, you're signing to be like your fifth guard, or you know. I mean, the problem is that now that they have Aaron Holiday, he makes less sense, but I like him for the minimum.
What about James Ennis?
I also like James Ennis. I think he'll get a little more than the minimum.
I just mean those really cheap guys who would fit in the room exception.
James Ennis would be an awesome room exception candidate. He's just basically like he has DR3 skills. I'd compare him to DR3. Maybe a little worse shooter, a little better ball handler.
Yeah, I think Ennis makes more sense.
Do too. I think Detroit's going to do all they can to keep that dude.
That's fair. So what do you think they'll offer?
He's playing so bad.
What do you think they'll offer him?
I think the room exception would be a good offer.
But do you think it might be something in his head that says, oh, I want to play for a playoff team?
You can go two. The Pacers are. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's, I think I mean, 2 for 9. I think, well, he played for the Grizzlies when they were a playoff team, but I think you can get him for like 2 for 9, maybe.
Yeah, but then he get traded from the Grizzlies. That was part of it, right? So he might want to play for a playoff team.
Yeah, he played for a playoff team his whole career, except for last year.
Yeah, so he might not re-sign with Detroit, but I'm trying to
play. Right. Oh, absolutely. I think he's totally gettable. I'm not trying to shut that down.
Okay. So, what was the contract you were saying? 2 for 9?
Yeah, the full room exception over 2 years, 2 for 9 would be nice.
Okay. I like Ennis just because they need as many wings as they can get, basically.
Sorry. We are selling him short. We are very much selling him short. This is 2014-15 Miami Heat member James Ennis, who's on the team, the post-LeBron Heat. He has some experience.
Okay. All right.
I just really like James Ennis. I know I like him more than I should, but you know, I just think you're right. Fringe wing guy.
Yeah, I will let you do your spiel on Clark and Ennis. That was what this whole point was. you have any centers? That's the one. Because if they cut Jefferson and EK, we think is hurt, right?
Yes. Though we know from reports it's hurt.
Yes. So they're going to need a third center because, shocker, Sabonis and Turner both got hurt last year for extended periods of time.
Yes.
And they were playing Jefferson. So they need a minimum center to at least back those guys up just in case. Break the Glass Cannon Emergency Center. So who's some guys you got? You said Alex Len before our podcast.
Alex Len, he's still pretty young. He's been okay with the Suns before. He just is not part of their timeline apparently anymore. I like him as a flyer guy. Like, he could even be okay in those minutes. An Indiana native here, Tyler Zeller, could be a good fit. And he's that rebounder that apparently everybody thinks the Pacers need so bad. I do not agree with that, by the way. But I think he could be a really good guy. Kylo Quinn is a very good player. The Knicks are letting him walk, apparently, so he could be another guy. I think there's a lot of good candidates for the third center spot.
I think Kylo Quinn – I like Kylo Quinn. I always liked him. I don't know
Me
why.
Me too. Kylo Quinn would be cool. I have another guy I like too. Can I do another one that's not a center, but he's a big man? Ahead. We've talked about him before. If that is gone or something like that, or they sign a Gordon type of guy, I think a good backup forward would be Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah, he was pretty good with the Philly last year, right?
Uh-huh.
He was a pretty good fit in that playoff.
He's a sneaky good player. He can take charges really well, which is like a most random skill, but he like takes one every other game, which is crazy. Like, that's a game-shifting play. He's a 10-point-a-game scorer who can struggle from the outside and is, you know, he knows the defensive rotations. I like him. He's good.
Yeah, stretch the floor is a big thing he can do, which is huge.
Yes.
You, I mean, like, considering they're playing Jefferson, a guy who can never stretch the floor. A guy who can literally stretch the floor every time with a world of difference for their offense.
A world of difference. He would be very, very helpful.
Because, I mean, the best you can hope for a bench center is he either is a huge impact on offense or defense on one end and doesn't ruin you on the other, basically.
All right, I got one more.
And then I promise I'll give another one.
Not a big name this time. Mario Hezonja.
Oh, that's a flyer, right? That's more
fun,
of like
– That's a fun flyer.
Yeah, I don't know if he's as –
You offer him one more dollar than the Magic can legally offer him, and say, "There you go, come take it."
I don't know if he's as like excited as we thought when he came out of Europe.
Yeah, he was good for like part of the year last year, but not the whole year. So I don't know.
I mean, for a guy who they thought was going to be able to shoot free really well, he just couldn't.
He cannot. No, he got up to 34% last year.
Yeah, that's for a guy who's playing shooting small forward. That's not good.
I know.
I mean, 2 years ago, he shot 35% from the field.
Right.
I mean, he's a flyer. Again, it's just flyers.
He's a flyer. He would not be expensive to be a flyer, too. Remember when they had Demian Rudej a few years ago? They could keep the Croatian sensations alive here, man.
Where's Bojan from, right? Bosnia?
Bojan is Bosnia, and Sabonis is Lithuania.
Okay, so they got some of the Eastern European thing going.
They do.
All right, so can I do my
a lot.
My big kind of interesting theory or interesting trade?
The Lakers trade, yeah, I want to hear this.
Yeah, all right, I'm due after this break. All right, Tony, are you ready?
I'm holding on to my desk.
All right, so this is a kind of a three-parter. Things have to fall in place. So let's say the Lakers do trade for Kawhi, right? That could happen in the next couple of days, for all we know. They're going to give up Ingram and probably Kuzma, maybe some other stuff. Maybe, and they don't give up Ball, right? Let's say they can't give up Ball.
He's hurt now.
They decide to keep Ball, right? So they just do that straight up. They don't put in the dang kind of any of that. Now they lure LeBron at the max. Now they have to clear Dane's contract to get the other max contract to get PG, right?
Yeah, or whoever, yeah.
They have to clear Dane. They'll get rid of Dane. They have to package probably Lonzo Ball with Dane to get off Dane's contract. The Pacers keep all their cap space. They and get Lonzo Ball and still have cap space. Or, like, basically use up all the cap space to get Dane and Ball and give him a player back, Darren Collison, maybe, like a $10 million guy. And they'd have just – they have about $3 million in space then, and they'd have Lonzo Ball on the deck.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Lonzo is really good, but I don't think anyone in Indiana would like him.
No, but then you're building on this core of Lonzo, Oladipo, Turner, Sabonis.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
I mean, and that's not out of, like, the realm of possibilities. I mean, there is a – that could easily happen if they can trade Kawhi straight up for Kuzma and Ingram and nothing else.
Right. I don't think they would give up Lonzo to get off Dang.
Well, they can't get George without getting off Dang.
I don't think they would like Paul George anymore. I'm serious.
You think they're not going to go Kawhi, LeBron, PG?
I think they'll go Ingram, Kuzma, and a first for Kawhi. I think they'll just sign LeBron and then give Randall big money, and then that's it.
That's an interesting take.
I know. Isn't that wild? I think LeBron's going to end up back – or LeBron. I think Paul George is going to end up back with the Thunder. I really do. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I think LeBron goes in there and says, I want PG, and then what do you say?
Yeah, then you get PG.
PG. So then to get PG, you have to make a rush trade, not very mentioning of cap space to take on Dang's contract. You can give up Dang and Ball and get a player back who can play on your team. Collison can play off Ball, can be your
Lonzo starter. Can play off Ball. That's why I like him so much.
I know, I agree. But if they but to get off Dang's contract, you have to use Ball to do that. It's a Dang goal process.
Right.
It could be the other way where Ball and Ingram go to the Celtics and they have to give up Kuzma, whatever it is. But you get Kuzma or Ball in one of these trades for Collison or for Bogdan if it's Kuzma. And I think that's a decent move where you don't jeopardize your team this year that much and you get a really young player by taking on a contract that's really bad but has gone in 2 years. And if you really, really wanted to, you could stretch Dang. I know they wouldn't do it because then they have like $10 million in stretch money, which would be a $7.5 million hit over 5 years. And they could still sign a guy like Barton probably.
Yeah, something like that could be what they're after. You know, Pritchard did say he expects the trade market to be very lopsided.
Yeah, and that would be the kind of move where if he pulled that off, I would say that's kind of an...
The most Pritchard thing ever would that would be.
Well, it's a really smart move. It's a really kind of like viewing everything from a bigger picture, saying, oh, if we move this piece and this piece, we can end up with Barton and Lonzo.
Yeah, that's pretty... That'd be interesting.
I do think, though, the having $7.5 million in dead money to Dang plus $2.5 for Monte is basically $10 million a year in dead money, which is sort of like, I don't know if Herb Simon likes to eat that bullet.
Brutal. But yeah, I don't know. That'd be interesting.
If you look at it, it's just you're paying Lonzo $17 instead of $7, it makes a little more sense.
I think there are some good guys they could get in salary dumps, though.
What are some other ones? I thought that was an interesting trade because it seemed like Kawhi is going to get traded for Ingram in either Kuzma or Ball.
So yeah, if you like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you could probably get him for literally nothing from Charlotte. If you like Markieff Morris, you could easily get him for nothing from Washington. The Heat probably have someone they'd be willing to give up for nothing. The question is, who is it? You know, there are a lot of teams like that. The Nuggets probably are going to have to give up somebody for next to nothing. Wilson Chandler could be a good guy to steal away from them. You know, there's a lot of moves like that,
but none of them are as good as getting a player like Kuzma.
Oh, absolutely not, absolutely not. Except I think Kuzma has his peak trade value right now, but
like Kuzma and Ball are centerpieces for your team.
Lonzo is a stud. Oh, there's no way the Lakers give up Kuzma and Ball to get off Dang. Absolutely no way.
No, you get one or the other. What I'm saying is,
oh,
if
right,
somebody goes to San Antonio and one of Kuzma or Ball comes to Indiana with Dang, and this could be sort of like almost like a three like a in the same move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Kawhi and a three-teamer with the Pacers.
Well, like, you could – yeah, again, I know. You could see it literally
yeah,
on July 1 in, like, three steps is, oh, LeBron signs – or the Kawhi trade, LeBron signs, Lakers trade to Pacers, PG signs. Like, all within, like, one ticker line, basically.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not sure they get all three anymore. I really don't know.
I think the Lakers are – probably focused on getting Kawhi, but they're probably looking at how to get rid of Dane's contract too. I mean, they could stretch it as well. LeBron could take a little less than that.
So bad.
Things like that, but they probably have some team in line to get rid of Dane, and I wonder if Indiana is one of them.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, we wouldn't know. They would keep it tight and wouldn't happen unless the Kawhi trade happened, but that'd be interesting to see Indiana involved in another Kawhi moving.
So can you maybe leave it? We made it this far without talking about any of the following names. Luke Mbah Mute, Wayne Ellington, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Elfrid Payton, J.J. Redick, Avery Bradley, all dudes we've talked about on this podcast, Trevor Ariza, all dudes we've talked about before on this show, and we are kind of low on all of them now, I feel like.
It's one, because they're probably not coming.
Yes.
Ariza's going to the Warriors, it sounds like, wants to go to the Warriors, if not re-sign with Houston.
He has such conflicting goals between his crazy money and his whatevers.
And then the rest of those guys feel like runner-up or like the second prize to not getting Barton, Evans, or Smart, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to – I don't know. Those two guys that I've talked about before.
Right, if you strike at us, or then you get like KCP maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what it feels like. They feel
strike
like,
out, get Rudy Gay, not the worst thing.
Yeah, I put Rudy Gay on our list we were talking about. He will probably want like 3 years at the mid-level money, whatever that number is.
More about their holiday pick, because Shams just tweeted that the Blazers are not giving Shabazz Napier a qualifying offer, and I like Shabazz Napier.
I like Aaron Holiday, I'm telling you.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I'm not knocking
him. Don't knock him until you see him playing Summer League.
I know, of course not, because Summer League is, of course, where all the better dominate Summer League. That's all I'm saying.
But the thing is, though, if they trade for Monzo, when I was saying, then Aaron Holiday is useless, right?
Yes.
Well, he's a backup point guard for the future, I guess.
More UCLA guys. Keep it up.
Yeah. Oh, man. You put together the team going to the Sweet 16. You'd have Leaf, Ball, and Holiday on the same team.
And EK.
Oh, my God. You'd literally have the whole UCLA. And they invited the Alfred kid to their no, he was the year before. Never mind.
We'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about Summer League next week.
Yeah, we'll do Summer League next week. But that, I mean, Ball might be happy playing with all his college teammates.
Oh, man. That'd be funny.
Right? Ball might like it or be comfortable.
I don't know. That'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting if he lost the ball here, to be honest. It would be.
I want LeVar Ball to live in Cicero, Indiana.
Those guys you mentioned or no?
Do I want to go deeper on anything? I don't know. I think we all need to remember something, though. We all have to tamper our expectations, because when you get really excited about dudes who have 29 other teams they can choose from, if they don't pick Indiana, you can't be disappointed. You know, you have to tamper your expectations. And the team's going to improve, but it's probably not going to be with who you think it is. You just have to keep your expectations level-headed.
Yeah, so two things on that. One, the last big free agent Pacers signed, or last two, would be Monte Ellis and David West.
Yes.
Like, West was a good signing, but not like he was like the otherworldly free agent that, like, well, he did help the organization, but Ellis was terrible. And two, they aren't one of 29 teams or 29 other teams, because a lot of them don't cap space.
But you're deciding between all 30 teams. It's just that they don't have the offers to make you enticed. That's what I'm saying.
And like, they're probably 10 teams or 8 to 10 teams now. They're
money.
But I do think they'll come away with one of, if they want Barden or Evans, if they really want.
Yeah, if they want someone, yeah, maybe. I mean, you never know. You just remember to keep your expectations level headed and don't panic if they don't get some dude you love.
Because what they really could do is offer Will Barden 1 year, $18 million, and he signs.
Yes.
That may. I mean, that's what
I'm actually all for the punting till next year strategy, for what it's worth, but I get why other people aren't.
Yeah. Let's do that for a second. The cap's going to go up $7 million next year, they think. So there's going to be a lot of space available.
And they immediately cleared $24 million with Darren and Bojan and Al being off immediately.
And 13 with that if they waive him.
Yeah. They're going to have absurd space next summer.
They have to re-sign Turner, but that's it. That's the only thing.
They can do that late in the summer. Like
But they'll have to replace three starters then, too.
Exactly. So. Yes, it's interesting.
It goes both ways. And, you know, we have to remember, will Collison and Bojan have the same
thing? Step up so much, because you need these starters to come up through your youth and be cheap.
Yep, that's why it's Ryan Holiday.
Yes.
And Leaf, right? That's the theoretic move. They could both be taking over by next year or 2 years.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Summer League next week, right? Or after free agency?
Yeah, we'll probably do it midweek when a lot of it's dying down.
All right, so I think we'll be back, Monday with the podcast on whatever happens on Sunday, or we'll see how breaking news happens, right?
Yeah, if something crazy happens Sunday, we'll have to hop right on.
Yeah, so look for those. We'll see how next week's up in the air, just depending on what kind of moves make. If they don't make any moves till Tuesday, there might only be a pod on Monday, not till Wednesday. Just depends on what happens. I think LeBron's going to stall some things, but they might sign a Barden or an Evans early on. We'll see.
That'd be great.
Yeah, so as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, Tony at TeastNBA, and me at Freeman Adam 5. Listen to our podcast, as always, on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now. You also listen to it again. Feel free to give us a 5-star review. Send us other, you know, hypothetical trades you might have, or other comment on who the discussion free agency may be or whatever to our Twitter feed at Locked On Pacers, and we'll try to respond and give you our best takes. That's been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.